You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
And right now, here he is, all decked out in his Western attire. Well, not quite. Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb. You and I were talking, and, you know, I usually never plug a movie, but I'm going to today.
I know.
Is that all right?
Yep, go ahead.
Folks, you got to go see this movie, The Sound of Freedom. We went a couple of days ago, and the theater was packed, but it's got a message that I think we all need to hear.
Absolutely. And I've heard so many people call me and say the same thing. Packed theaters, excellent message. But then, on the other side of the coin, the left is out to do as much as they can to destroy it.
Well, folks, if you get a chance, go see it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So today's
how are you?
What's that?
I said, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, you always want to jump right into the puddle of water and start swimming. Why can't you just be nice and friendly?
I've got all my kids here except one.
Are they listening right now?
Probably not. They're probably still asleep. But we've had a great weekend, and anyway, it's been good.
What would it take for my wife and I to just come and take residence up in your house?
We wouldn't even notice.
Okay.
You would just set another couple of places at the table.
There you go. What are we going to talk about today?
We are going to talk about Virgil Earp.
Well, Virgil. My goodness. Virgil, not Virgil. Wyatt.
No.
Okay.
So, you know, we've all heard of the legendary shootout at the OK Corral in Tombstone that happened in 1881, but not a lot is known about Virgil Earp's law enforcement career, and actually began in Prescott, Arizona. And so I'm going to kind of give you some background how we get into Virgil being into law enforcement.
Okay, good.
So it's 1877. It's in Prescott. There's a Colonel William McCall. Now, he was in a saloon. He was enjoying a game of billiards. And two men walked in, George Wilson and a guy named Robert Tulos. They walked in, and they headed straight for Colonel McCall. One of them jabbed a pistol into his back, while the other whispered threats in the colonel's ear, something like, you better keep your mouth shut or else.
You're sure that's what they said?
Exactly.
Pretty close.
They're pretty close. Why such a warning? Well, a few months prior, Colonel McCall had been living near the Texas-Oklahoma border, and while there, he learned that Wilson had murdered Robert Brodus, who was a deputy sheriff of Montague County, Texas. So, the thought is that maybe Colonel McCall played a part in chasing Wilson after he shot down this sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
So the murderer, Wilson, fled to Colorado and then headed to Prescott. And when he saw McCall, he was aware that McCall knew that he'd killed this sheriff and thought the colonel might cause him some trouble. So that's why him and his buddy were going after him.
I see.
Okay. Now, let me talk about the killing. So the killing occurred when Deputy Sheriff Brodus was escorting Wilson from Collin County to Montague County to stand trial for some misdemeanor. With Brodus were two guards, Bud McGarry and Tom Lemons. The three lawmen and the prisoner were camping one spring morning near a creek. The guards were making breakfast. All of a sudden, Wilson grabbed McGarry's gun, pulled the trigger, and shot the sheriff, Brodus, to death.
Oh,
killed
my.
Him. He then grabbed Brodus's horse to make his escape, and apparently Wilson had at least a little some amount of scruples because before escaping, still holding his gun on them, Wilson offered the two guys $20 for a saddle. He needed a saddle. The guards refused, but this is interesting. They turned around and sold a pistol to the outlaw for $10.
Whoa, stop. You're going too fast for this old cowboy.
They gave him a blanket to ride because he didn't have on his horse because he didn't have a saddle.
You got to be kidding me. So he shot the sheriff.
Right.
Okay, and then he turns around and buys a saddle.
Well, he tried to, but they wouldn't sell him a saddle. But they sold him a gun. For $10, and then gave him a saddle blanket so he could not have to ride bareback. Okay.
I'm shaking my head, folks.
Continuing on, Texas governor offered $500 for the capture or death of Wilson.
Well, wait a minute. Why didn't the deputies go after the guy?
Who knows? He had a gun.
Well, so did they.
Well, they weren't being paid as much as the sheriff, and he was dead. So, back to the saloon.
Okay.
Somehow, Colonel McCall escaped.
Okay.
He got away. And he went to the law and he reported the presence of these two outlaws. Now, here we go with Constable Frank Murray. Immediately went over to the saloon, followed by Colonel McCall. He was going to arrest these two guys.
Okay, gotcha.
Wilson and Talos.
Okay.
Well, before they got there, the two outlaws had imbibed rather vigorously with the drink of the day.
They were at an A&W Ripper's
stand. They were. They stepped outside, and one took a pot shot at a woman's dog just for fun as they were rolling down Prescott's plaza. When Constable Murray arrived, the two guys believed they were being held accountable for discharging the gun at the animal. Now told otherwise, both drew their pistols, quickly mounted up, and galloped their horses south while shooting left and right. You got the picture?
I do.
Okay. Constable Murray gathered what he calls an all-star posse.
All-star.
All-star. But it took a bit of time, which gave the desperados a little bit of a head start. Now, these guys aren't very smart. And you'll see why.
It doesn't sound really like the good or the bad guys are very smart.
Somewhere in Prescott, three men were engaged in a friendly conversation far enough away to not know what was going on as far as the shooting. Two were high-ranking lawmen, County Sheriff Ed Bowers and U.S. Marshal Wiley Standifer, and it is likely that these two lawmen would have hurried to the sound of the gunfire had they been aware of it. Now, Sheriff Bowers, along with Constable Murray, would take up the chase on horseback. Marshal Standifer and Colonel McCall hopped aboard a horse-drawn carriage.
Now, this is in Prescott.
Yeah.
So, I've been there many times.
Okay, so you got four guys after him. Now, the third man that was visiting with the marshal and the sheriff was Virgil Earp. And he was kind of new to Prescott, so they didn't know, he wasn't known much, you know. But he was carrying a Winchester rifle, and given the situation, it might come in handy. Now, most Old West historians, including his biographer, believe that Virgil had never been an official lawman up to this point.
Oh.
Okay. Virgil claimed that he served in some capacity as a lawman in Dodge City, Kansas, with Brother Wyatt, but there was no documentation, so we don't really know if that's true.
I see.
So this probably was his first encounter with being on the law. So Virgil must have made an impression upon the three lawmen, and he was promptly deputized, but Earp had no horse at the time.
Oh, I tell you just keep going like a spider web here.
And there was only room for two on the buckboard, on the carriage. So he would have to keep up on foot.
Oh, you made him walk?
He's walking.
In the hot?
Yeah, in Prescott.
Okay,
now you'll see that wasn't too bad of a deal. Wilson and Tulos were expected to be far down the trail by now. However, so how long could Virgil last? He's walking, right?
Yeah.
Fortunately for him, the chase would not be very long. It was not going to be a Western-style chase for miles and miles. The outlaws, instead of taking off and getting away from Prescott, stopped about a half a mile away, still in Prescott.
They're down the road from Prescott?
Yeah, they're still just like...
They
just stopped. So
you're not talking about
real
smart
people. They got off their horses.
Here.
They pulled up their pistols, and they just lit up a couple of cigarettes and just sat there and waited
for the cops.
Yeah.
Well, the sheriff.
Yeah. So Marshal Stanifer and Colonel McCall, leading the posse and moving fast, rode right by the fugitives.
They went by them?
Well, they were just standing there. So lucky
you
break,
can't make this up, folks.
Lucky break for the outlaws until one of them shouted, one of the outlaws said, "Don't run over us, you son of a gun."
Yeah, and I'll bet that's exactly what he said, too.
Now, how smart is that? You're going to yell at the sheriff running past you, that you know he's coming after you. All right. So the two posse members stopped, jumped off the carriage, and they turned around. Their pistols on the bad guys. Constable Murray and Sheriff Bowers were riding down from the north on their horses. They dismounted, and Earp, walking, running.
Is he still coming along?
Yeah, he's still walking. He quickly caught up and positioned himself between the four other lawmen, and with his Winchester rifle, he's right there, okay? So the criminals open fire. Here they are, two against five, right?
These are not smart
very good.
People.
Yeah. So bullets and buckshot came from three directions. Wilson fell immediately when a bullet penetrated his skull. Tolos died instantly after being shot eight times. Most, if not all, of these wounds came from Virgil's Winchester. To the astonishment of a lot of people, George Wilson hung on for 2 days with a bullet lodged in his head.
Holy cow.
Talk about a hard-headed guy.
So these are two dumb, very dumb criminals.
Yeah.
And they basically ask for getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, so Virgil, like say, he was a deadly shot, evidently, with his Winchester.
But he was tired from walking.
Well, you know, I've gone hunting when I've been chasing something, and when I stop to shoot, I'm shaking so bad I can't.
Did they ever buy the guy a horse?
Maybe Wyatt did eventually.
Oh.
But anyway, evidently, Wilson had turned to religion at this point and had offered...
The day after he got shot?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So,
yeah, and he had offered some prayers, but evidently these profane prayers wasn't exactly the language of the religion, so to speak. So... It was probably a very earnest prayer, but not necessarily made it past.
So
the,
how long did Wilson live?
It took him 2 days.
2 days?
2 days with a bullet in his head.
But he was conscious.
Yeah. See, he was able to kind of, I guess, talk, you know. Well, Wilson died with a bullet still in his brain.
Well, yeah, I didn't expect it to jump out of there.
No, and, you know, they didn't do surgery back then.
Yeah.
So an interesting side note to this story is that Virgil's younger brother, Wyatt, had dealt with Wilson in Wichita, Kansas in 1875 when Wyatt was a policeman there. Apparently, Wilson had, quote, forgotten to pay for a wagon he had acquired. Wyatt came to collect and did so with a bit of firm prompting. So, you know, Wyatt could do that.
Yeah.
So it was later learned that Wilson was more evil than first thought. He was also wanted for the murders of the sheriff and deputy sheriff of Los Animas County, Colorado. So he was a bad guy. You know, he deserved to die. So, but this episode proved to Prescott people that Virgil was a man who could be counted on, and he was a crack shot with a rifle. He was soon appointed Prescott's night watchman and elected constable in 1878, and ironically, he defeated the very man, Frank Murray, who had been the constable, who'd made him a member of the posse. So he ran against Constable Murray and beat him.
Really?
A couple of years.
And he wasn't a resident there or anything, was he?
He just had moved there, hadn't been there very long.
Wow.
So he really wasn't very well known, you know, among the people. So anyway, on November 1st, 1879, after a series of correspondences between the brothers, Wyatt and his wife, Maddie, and older brother, James, and his wife, Bessie, and two children arrived in Prescott with Doc Holliday and Kate Elder. Remember, Kate Elder was kind of a girlfriend of Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
So Doc and Kate had joined them in Las Vegas, New Mexico territory. And in late December of 1879, Virgil and Wyatt arrived in Tombstone, the territory's latest boomtown, Morgan most likely arrived sometime in the spring of 1880. So now you've got Virgil, James, Wyatt, and Morgan all, now they are all in Tombstone.
Right.
Ready for the big shootout.
Right.
So Doc Holliday, he stayed in Prescott with Katie for a while to gamble. He was quite the gambler. You know,
oh, yeah.
He had a reputation.
What's the? I'm trying to think of the name of the hotel, and I've been in the hotel where they resided in Prescott. And I've been in there, had lunch in there, as a matter of fact. And
let me show you some pictures.
Yeah, because I'd know it if I saw it again. My wife and I and some friends of ours, we had lunch in that very famous hotel.
There's some pictures of Prescott.
Okay, that's early days in Prescott.
Yeah,
right.
Here's here's another one. Here is Allie Earp and Doc Holliday and Prescott, Arizona.
Oh yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, back
in
the day.
I don't know if that hotel is there or not.
I can't tell. My glasses don't go that far.
And here's here's another picture.
Yeah. Now there, I think, is the hotel. If you can tell me the name of that hotel, I think that's it right there.
Let's see.
Yeah. It should give the name. Very palatial type hotel.
It calls it a boarding house.
Oh, okay.
The
Earps were actually then all together.
In Prescott.
In Prescott for a while.
Yeah.
Then they went down to Tombstone.
So, yeah. So Doc, he was in Prescott. Then... a little more than a year later, October 26, 1881, that's when this famous fight took place. It lasted 30 seconds.
The gunfight at the OK Corral.
Yeah, the three Earp brothers and Doc Holliday shot their way into fame and...
They, as a family, the movies that have been made, they don't really depict that the family had lived there that long in Tombstone. And in some of the movies, it says that basically some of the brothers came in at the last minute. But how long did all the family reside in Tombstone?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't think very long. I think they just kind of were there for a short time. They had the gunfight, and then I think they went their separate ways.
Well, they went their separate ways, but from that point, didn't Wyatt go to California?
I believe he did. And there's another brother, and I've done a story on him, the Earp brother that was not in
right.
the gunfight.
Right.
I cannot remember his first name. But yeah, he was gone. By the time he came back, the gunfight was over, so nobody knew anything about him.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, but that's the story of how Virgil...
And the Earps themselves were not exactly all pure lily white, were they?
They had a reputation. I like this picture. Look at this.
Yeah.
It's kind of a... Doesn't that look like a marshal or a guy you wouldn't want to mess with?
Yeah, right? It kind of looks like Sam Elliott.
It does. It does look like him, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the story of Virgil Earp and how he kind of...
Now, all the brothers, wasn't Wyatt the only one that had never, ever got shot?
One of them.
Yeah.
Yes. One of them got shot, never got shot. And I've done a story on the Earps where one of them got shot, and I think didn't the others go after for revenge after whoever shot?
Yeah, we could do a whole series of stories on the Earps, and they were kind of the good and bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know one of them, I think, got shot and killed, and I think two of the three others went after whoever shot
but
him.
Didn't one of them with one arm, he had an arm that had been blown up with a shotgun, didn't he go to California with Wyatt and become a sheriff down in Southern California?
That sounds familiar. I know it's been quite a while since I did a story on all of them and what happened to all of them.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of vague on what the whole story behind all of them.
Okay, well, that was interesting. Do a kind of a research on, here's your homework assignment for next week, and do a complete assessment as to what happened to the Earp boys.
Yeah, I could do that, because they were, movies have been made out of them, and all that movie, TV, everything.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting, Zeb, though, there's a lot of lawmen and guys in the Old West that did a lot more than the Earp brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the fight at the OK Corral, they were put into history and, you know, famous, and yet.
What was the name of the sheriff and or the lawman? And he was a black sheriff, and I think his last name was Bass.
Sam Bass.
No, no, no? That's the criminal, no, Sam,
yeah,
Bass.
Yeah, that's right.
But you had a story on that sheriff that really cleaned house there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
You know, Zeb, I've done so many stories.
Well, that's
the dates and the names are just kind of, they're in there.
Well, of course, there's another obvious answer for the problem. You're getting old like me.
What can I say?
No, but Bass, and I'll think of his name here in a minute, because they did a TV show on him.
You know, it sounds familiar,
yeah.
And I know who you're talking about.
He was from Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't remember his first name.
Okay.